I'm not Liam Neeson, right? Like, I'm not going to go suit up with high-powered artillery and, like, make them pay. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we talk about the Internet of Them. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. With extra terrifying this week.
Yes. And trademark reasons keep us from referring to it via other pronouns.
Yeah, right. Buckle up your seatbelt, dear listener, because this was a shock to both of us. So I'm guessing it'll be a shock to you.
And if it's not, I'll be a little concerned. But do you want to get into some housekeeping first?
Yes, let's do that first after that little teaser. I think you're talking about TRD Book Club?
Sure.
So some first bit of housekeeping is that we talked about doing another TRD book club. And since we mentioned last week that neither of us had read Brave New World, and we probably should, then that's what's on the ticket. What do you think? Would that be next? No, be the week after next to give people a chance to hear this and possibly read along or catch up or reread it.
Yeah, we'll do week after next.
Yeah. So it doesn't, I mean, the book's been out since I don't even know when, you know, 40 years, 50 years. So spoilers are probably at this point not a big deal.
I'd say a lot of people probably read it in high school. I know I didn't, but.
I did not either. I took my high school was one of those college prep high schools, and all we did was drill vocabulary for the SAT.
No, I did a lot of literature in high school, but it was
just never that one.
There were a few big ones that I seem to have somehow skipped over.
Yeah, my high school, I have zero recollection of reading any lit. I don't think I had an English literature class at all. I've read some stuff, but not because of high school. So I'm an idiot, but I did well in my SATs. Okay. And now we homeschool. Okay. Should we jump into the feature? Is there anything else?
I think that's it.
Yeah, excellent. All right. So let's talk about something totally crazy.
Yeah. You know what I love?
What do you love?
I love chips.
Chips are so good. We should have a party. Chips, a chip party.
Yeah. People just show up and we just like give them chips.
Exactly.
Like, here, or have some chips.
Wait. I thought the chips were going to be in, I don't know, a bowl with maybe some salsa.
No. This chip is in a syringe.
Oh, that's not really what I was expecting. Maybe I don't want some chips.
No, I'm on a diet.
So why are you approaching me with that syringe?
Yeah.
So, okay. That was funnier in the chat than it was. I think
it was, yeah.
SQL injection. So, okay. So the story that kicked this off, how'd you come across this?
I was looking for stuff to talk about today.
But what search leads you to Three Square Market?
Actually, I was just doing a search on recent tech news and just found a site that just basically aggregates a bunch of news and was just scrolling through those and found an announcement about it. So.
Gotcha. So this grabbed your attention. So this is a press release from a company called Three Square Market. And the headline is Three Square Market will become the first U.S. company to provide implanted microchip technology to their employees. It makes it sound like they're not actually injecting them with chips.
But yet, if you look at the picture.
Yeah.
I also want to call out here that the article specifically states the first U.S. company, which kind of implies that there's other companies outside of the U.S. that are already doing this, which I was not at all aware of.
So I did some quick Googling around on this, and because they don't name any other companies that are doing this. So I'm still a little like, so like if you, I did a search for, well, let's tell the story first. So the story is there's this company called Three Square Market, and they, it looks like for a long time, have done this thing called micro markets, which they provide to companies. It's kind of like a replacement and an upgrade from vending machines. So if you have a big corporate headquarters or something, I used to work at the Staples corporate headquarters in Framingham, Mass. And we had Chef Louis, which was like a cafeteria. And around the corner, there was a little convenience store. It was probably the size, it was smaller than my office. It was probably about the size of my office. It was maybe 20 by 30 tops. And it was jam packed. It was like a miniature convenience store. But there was a counter and there was a person there, and you had to stand in line in this teeny little store. And once Chef Louis closed, it would get jam packed in there. And, you know, so like, I don't know, I think the cafeteria closed at like, let's say 2, and you could come down at like 3 or something. and there would just be a line out of this little place. And so this place, Three Score Market, I guess, makes these little embedded convenience stores inside of larger organizations like that. And they, you know, claim, oh, you'll get, you know, four times the return on investment as you get from vending machines. And, you know, for years, it looks like
they accept mobile payments.
Right. So yeah. they don't have to have the advantage of this Three Square Market concept that's better, I think, than the one that I had years ago when I worked in corporate America, is that there's no clerk. It's just like, you know, Amazon Go type store where they've got a mobile app and there's a kiosk or something and you just grab your stuff and maybe it's got RFID on. I don't, you know, it doesn't really matter how it works, but apparently you just go in. It's a convenience store. Looks like a convenience store that you might see in like an airport, mm-hmm. and you grab your stuff and you check out somehow, you self check out. They've got a mobile approach. I saw on this site, they've got a couple of card swipe approaches that look more like a Walmart self checkout type of thing. And it looks like they're making right now, at least, a big deal about a new checkout technology. And that checkout technology involves this little tiny, it's like a little capsule. What's the size of? It's like, what's a normal, it's way smaller than a paperclip. It's like a grain of rice, like a big long grain rice grain. And you load it into a syringe, apparently, based on the gigantic hero shot on their homepage, which is super creepy. There's like three people standing around in like an office setting, and you'd expect them to be holding beers,
like,
but one of them's
a syringe.
He's holding a syringe, like smiling at the next guy, like, who's next? And you know, so it's got this little thing, and they stick it into, it said forearm in one place, but then in a couple of other places it said that they put it in between your thumb and index finger, and that sort of like fleshy webbed area.
And then they showed pictures of people like scanning their hand.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I found it kind of hilarious in the press release, one of the company. So 3M, I keep saying 3M.
32M.
Yeah. 32M, which makes no sense because it's Three Square Market, not Three Squared Market. So I don't understand the 32M. But anyway, 32M or Three Square Market, they are sort of adopting this technology at their location as a kind of proof of concept in the US for something they're obviously going to try to sell to companies like Staples and probably Google and probably 3M. Anybody that's got like a big headquarters building where you would normally have vending machines, but they want a little bit nicer experience. So they're going to create one of these micro markets. And hey, if you don't want to fuss with your mobile phone, you don't want to carry your mobile phone all the way down to the micro market, just get this implant in your hand and you can pay with your hand.
They talk about using it to access secure locations, to make mobile payments, to enable my access to the office coffee machine.
Right. So, hey, are you sick of typing your password into the copy machine on 4 West? Complain no more. You can now just get this little grain of rice injected into your hand and wave it at the copy maker, and it still won't work because they never work. But okay, right. At least you don't have to type the password before it
right,
jams.
At least you don't have to keep typing it in over and over.
Right. So it's kind of, okay, so this is... I keep wanting to spin out into the bigger technology play, but I think there's still some juicier stuff here. Mm-hmm. So this company, Three Square Market, their main thing is these, you know, convenience stores, right? These sort of autonomous convenience stores or the self-checkout convenience stores. And that's, I can imagine a market for that. That makes sense. And now, and what all they're really trying to do is make it the checkout one step more convenient. Because right now they've got swipe your own card and they've got, you know, use your mobile phone. And so this is just one step more convenient.
This could just as easily be a ring.
Right.
But then you'd have to remember to wear it.
Yeah, they could have put fingerprint scanners, use Touch ID. There's a million other things. But for whatever reason, they decided that this was the next step in convenience. And they found this company, I think they're from Sweden.
The UK.
UK, was it? So there's this other company called Biohacks International. And they're the ones that have sort of a bigger vision. So this Three Square Market is a particular use case that this technology can be applied to. But this Biohacks International company is like, you know, they're like take over the world mentality. You know, like they have this, you know, trademarked Internet of Us sort of tagline.
They're like, we want you to have seamless interaction with the technology around you via our biomedical implants. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're taking digitalization, that's easy for you to say, to the next level where people can live a seamless lifestyle, connectivity based on users' choice of preference, proud to state with confidence that everyone, literally everyone, should join the biohacks community to be part of this revolutionary journey. You know, the breathless kind of stuff we're used to hearing out of Silicon Valley and like, yeah, everybody's changing the world. Okay, great. And it says Biohacks Sweden. So I think they might be in Sweden.
Oh, okay.
And they've got this wall of logos like Biohacks Global Coverage. We've been featured in the New York Times and Geek.com and Reuters and USA. Da, 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 da. I searched the first like five of these and the only news from any of them is the thing about Three Square Market that just happened. You know, it was like last month. So perhaps they just updated their website really quickly. But now here's the thing. I don't see, I was hoping when I did that search, I was hoping to find some of these non-US companies that have been doing this for a long time. And this is old hat.
Yeah. I mean, one of the articles talked about, oh, this is starting to become popular. And saying something is starting to become popular implies that it's been a fringe thing for at least more than a day.
What I'm trying to say is I don't trust these guys at all. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you're definitely not going to let them inject their...
Hells to the no.
Are your dogs microchipped?
No.
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 Would you microchip your dogs?
If there was some benefit, I wouldn't feel bad about it. I mean, I wouldn't be like, oh, that's violating their privacy. Like, what is it for?
Typically, they do the microchips in the ear. Ours aren't chipped either. So that way... If your dog is lost, you can just if someone finds their dog, they can take it to the vet, and the vet can scan. It's like, oh yeah, there's a microchip, and here's all the owner information, and oh, this dog is on such and such medication. We should probably make sure they still get that kind of thing. Oh
yeah, yeah, that would be a great idea for our dogs actually, because we don't keep collars on them except for when we're going to take them out for a walk. And sometimes we don't even put the collars on. We just use those, like, the gentle leader face thing. So it's like, oh, I forgot to put... Like, so if the dogs... And it has happened twice where the dogs in, you know, decade, that the dogs have gotten out of the house and we live in a city. So then that becomes a panicked, slow drive around the neighborhood, yelling their names. Yeah, because they would definitely look like strays. And then, you know...
Yeah.
So that would be a good idea for our dogs.
Yeah, but yet I'm betting you wouldn't microchip your toddler for similar reasons.
Not even close. So because she wears her collar and it's not a problem.
And it's a shock collar, so she doesn't go out of the yard anyway.
Okay, so why do I feel differently? Why would I be? Do I feel like I'm violating her privacy? Like why do I feel like that? How come I feel differently? I mean, this is going to sound stupid. Why do I feel differently about chipping my dog or chipping my toddler?
Well, I mean, obviously your dog's a dog and your toddler's a human being with
I recognize that there are differences.
The rights and privileges thereof, but...
But does a toddler have rights and privileges? Not really. Do they? I mean, they do as a human, right? I mean, like, laws apply to them. You can't just...
Right, but does a toddler have a right to privacy?
Yeah, no, they don't. I mean, anybody... I was just talking to... I went out to lunch with a friend and he has a 12-year-old and they just broached the, okay, you can have a phone now. Mm-hmm. And they made him sign a contract that he cannot delete any of his chat logs. He cannot delete any of his browser history. He cannot, you know, long line of things. And as somebody who has kids, you could understand why somebody would have those thoughts. That's probably not how I would tackle it personally, but... You get it. Like we've had some whoopsies with YouTube, you know, with the kids.
Right.
So, you know, you can see it. You can see the impulse, but why, but like the idea, you know, and if we're talking about a 3-year old, like, I'm not Liam Neeson, right? Like I'm not going to suit up with high powered artillery and like make them pay.
Right. Well, like you're particular with your very particular set of skills.
Exactly. So, you know, like why wouldn't I? Like why does the idea of that repel me? Like why does that make me want to vomit? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's scarier, the fact that I know people who I think would probably be okay with that.
What's wrong? What's wrong with it? Like this is the discussion, right? Like what's wrong with it? What if Kira was a 19-year-old employee at Google, and she's like, just had casually mentioned that she got herself microchips so she didn't have to carry her phone around to get a bag of pretzels.
Right, or she didn't have to remember her like 7-digit key code to get in the front door.
Right. Like, what would your reaction be?
She's
an adult. She can do what she wants.
You know, I think I would be more okay with it if she were an adult versus me, like, saying I'm going to install this microchip in you that has all of our contact information. I would be more okay with it. And but at the same time, it's like, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know, like, if I would I get that for myself if I was in that situation. I don't know if I would or not. And it's weirding me out a little bit that my answer to that is not just an outright no.
Yeah, mine's a definite maybe, because it would be so convenient.
That's
the scary part. The people are willing to give up a lot for tiny pieces of convenience. And so here's the thing about the kids. Like just to be 100% clear, there's no freaking way I would let somebody inject a piece of silicon technology, an RFID chip into one of my kids. No way. I don't know why. Though, because we let our doctor inject them with stuff all the time. That I mean, maybe it's just that it's been around longer, you know, and that there's a regulatory body, or you know what? But to be perfectly honest, I think the reason why is because everybody else does it. If I'm being 100% honest, the reason I'd be against a chip is because hardly anybody does it, and it just makes me nervous. And, you know, when it comes to a decision like, vaccines or flu shots, I don't question those at all. There's no question. Yeah, do it.
Right.
Yeah. Why? But why? It's conventional wisdom. It's common sense. Everybody does it. Are those good reasons? So basically what we're saying is, like, maybe after, when it's normal, it'll be fine. And maybe that's why I can't articulate what exactly is different about it. The thing that
We're talking about RFID. It's not like we're talking about chips that are transmitting a bunch of data and things. We're talking about an RFID chip, essentially, that you have to be very close to in order to just passively read from.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like it kind of feels like it's opening. That's like it's a slippery slope to.
Yeah, to like concentration camp tattoos. It's like. Like, what's the...
I think you just kind of found it right there.
Yeah, because it's different. That's why. Mm-hmm. It is different. It's uniquely identified. It's more like tagging a wildebeest, you know? It's like...
It's kind of dehumanizing. Yeah.
Getting injected with a vaccine, unless the tinfoil hat people are right, is not going to somehow uniquely identify you later, or it's not a privacy violation. It's a decision that we make on the behalf of our children who are too small to make the decision themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But it has the use cases for abusing it are zero, as long as you're not a conspiracy theory person. So if you could imagine, however, abusing some sort of identifying RFID. I mean, I'm imagining it just broadcasts like a global unique identifier. Like, that's all it would have to do to be useful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a completely different thing, because then all of a sudden it becomes a cookie. It's like a browser cookie on your body. And you can potentially start gathering data about that person, even when the interactions have to be very close. RFID is not NFC. RFID is like...
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of NFC. Yeah. RFID is not as close.
Right. So RFID is broadcast strongly enough to be picked up from, 5 feet. I think that's reasonable, because I know that you could, if you have, and there are different kinds of chips, but if you pull a pallet of materials into a loading dock, you can check everything in with sensors on the dock and not have to like do every single box. So if you use RFID, it feels a little bit more like the magic bands at Disney, which are so great. I mean, from a convenience standpoint, they're amazing, but you can take them off. You know, not that we did, but I mean, after we left, we did.
Yeah, you weren't like forced to have them on. And that actually, I was just thinking, I know it's become popular now to buy RFID blocking wallets to protect your card. And I just wonder, like, are people going to have RFID blocking gloves?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the convenience, it's an example of, so if you're the kind of person who doesn't like retargeting ads when you're browsing around the web. So you're browsing around the web and yeah. they're like, hey, you were on allegorywritinginstruments.com and you never bought anything. So here's an ad for something from that site that you were looking at. Those actually yeah. don't bother me. I kind of like those. I'd rather see ads for stuff I kind of want than rando like belly fat tricks.
Ad retargeting doesn't bother me because they're going to show me ads that are relevant to me. I do wish I could turn it off around the Christmas season.
So you're not constantly seeing suggestions for people on your list instead of...
Well, yeah, and that. And so when Richard and Kira are looking over my shoulder, an ad doesn't come up for something I've just bought them for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, yeah, I mean, that's a relatively innocuous, like, oh, man, that ruined the surprise. And it's this sort of accidental, it's an emergent property from, it's like, oh, geez, Christmas is ruined.
Yeah, I'd put my gloves on for that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like the kind of stuff you'd open an incognito browser for now, where it's like, okay, I don't want somebody to accidentally see this for whatever reason. Maybe it's embarrassing content, or maybe it's going to ruin a surprise or whatever. But okay. So I think we determined what the actual difference is, which is that this chip, this injection is globally personally identifiable and therefore yeah. is a hook on which you can hang a whole bunch of behavioral analytics, where yeah. getting a flu shot, again, unless there's conspiracy people are right, getting a flu shot is that does nothing. I mean, it does nothing in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, they might have a record that, oh, you came in and got a flu shot the last 2 years as well. But it's the flu shot is not going to let them go, oh, and then you went to this store and made this purchase, and then you dropped the kids off at school, and then you went through the security door, and then, yeah. Yeah. And particularly when you put this in the sort of corporate context of these companies chipping their employees so that they can have access to various things in the building, and whether they be food kiosks or security doors or the copy machine. As soon as you put it in the context of the bathroom, yeah. As soon as you put it
in, we noticed you were in the bathroom for 45 minutes. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to start looking at the behavior of their employees and going, okay, this person's wasting a lot of time during their day, or oh, this person keeps
bothering this other person.
Yeah. This person buys a lot of junk food. Maybe we should drop them from the health insurance plan.
Right. So the counter argument to this that I always get from my dad is that if I'm not doing anything wrong, it doesn't matter if people can track what I'm doing. In one sense, in the sense that exists in his mind, he's right. Mm-hmm. I've got nothing to hide. Okay. But the whole thing hangs on that word wrong, because what's wrong is judged differently by different people. So my dad is imagining a world where the rules are clear and adhering to them is easy. Like the lines are drawn and you can stay in between them. But that's not the world, you know? And if you can imagine someone, I don't know, like a reality TV star getting elected to the highest office.
That could never happen.
I know that could never happen.
Yeah.
Because it's absurd. Yeah. But you could imagine them perhaps redefining what's wrong and what's not wrong, what's mm-hmm. wrong and what's right. And then using that data in a way that would be completely unsurprising in a more, let's say, totalitarian country, where somebody's like, no, this is not allowed. This is allowed.
You end up with like thought police.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, I think a lot of people imagine, people who are not totally against this kind of tracking, I think are like, oh, well, the rule, I'm cool with the current rules and they'll never change. That's the base assumption. So like, it's like, I'm cool with these rules and these will forever be the rules. The data doesn't go away. So if the rules change and you can like retroactively go back and be like, you've been doing something that's now considered a crime and the statute of limitations is not up. Like, oh, but I should be grandfathered. Yeah, well, you're like, not.
Yeah, or at the very least, you're on some kind of watch list now.
Yeah. Well, you had that story recently that about the IP request.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, okay, so do you remember it enough to tell it?
Yeah, basically the U.S. Department of Justice was requesting, I think, 1.3 million IP addresses from DreamHost, from people who had used a website hosted on DreamHost to organize peaceful protests for the presidential inauguration.
Mm. I'm to send them a nice Christmas card?
I don't know. Yeah, one can only imagine. And DreamHost, of course, was fighting this. And I believe a federal judge later ruled that they do have to turn over those IP addresses, I think is where we're at now with it.
Let's play that out for people. Like, that means that, so this web hosting company has traffic logs from people who visited websites hosted. They're not talking about people who hosted the website, mm-hmm. you know, the sort of radical rabble rousers who hosted the website. This is the IP addresses of people who visited any of those websites, right?
Like, I might have been one of them. I don't know.
You don't even know. Like, so, okay.
Click a link in a news article, whatever.
And that's still, it's still kind of scary. And there's not one thing they're going to do with it that I'm going to be happy about. You know, maybe they won't do anything that I'm unhappy about, but there's absolutely no convenience for me. There's no benefit for me for them doing this. So, okay, so my tax dollars are going to this thing that I think is a complete waste of time. And IP addresses are not always super identifying. I mean, it's not like your social security mm-hmm. number or your name or your email address or something. It's like,
yeah, they change all the time.
They change and they can be a block of IP. You know, you could be inside of a firewall that just exposes one IP for hundreds of people.
Yeah, or you could be stealing your neighbor's Wi-Fi or whatever.
Yeah, there's that. Well, so, okay, and that's exactly where I was going. So now imagine, if you will, that that's not the way it works. And every single, you know, you've got a unique identifier in your thumb and everything that is logged in some database somewhere that, oh, by the way, a bunch of people have access to. Perhaps fake, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happens if somebody did want, you know, okay, here's this audit trail of your activities. You know, you went to the bath, you did this, you went that, you went into the stockroom. You're not supposed to be in the stockroom. Why'd you go in there? Or you're not supposed to be in the stockroom at this time.
What if you're an employee at this company and your ex works in the company IT department and mm-hmm. they're mad at you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this was the thing with when the Patriot Act first came out. It was like, there's something like 300,000 contractors who did not have government clearance that had access to the data. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and there was no penalty. There was no stated penalty for just poking around in the information. You know, like it's like a federal offense for your mailman to read your mail. That was not the case for this. I guess it's the FBI or your Department of Homeland Security. I'm not sure. But there's hundreds of thousands of contractors who had very little background checks. Obviously, I mean, Snowden got away with murder, basically. So really not anybody, but a lot of people could get access to the data. So if you're in a lawsuit with a business partner, you're going through a messy divorce, any kind of situation where you are, of those 300,000 people, at least one of them was in some kind of battle with somebody else. And oh, by the way, every single day on my computer, I can call up information about everybody. So to roll it back to my dad being like, I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't care who knows. It's like, well, what if somebody, first of all, could tamper with the audit trail of things that you did and just make up lies?
Yeah, you still exist within the system that now lets people track everything that you do. So even whether the data is correct or not is beside the point.
It becomes like the most unbelievably persuasive circumstantial evidence ever. You know, it's like, well, a guy, some stuff was stolen out of this room. We can see that you were in this room based on this log of data. It's like, I never went in there. Sure you didn't.
Yeah.
It's right here in the data. It's like, well, the data's wrong. Like, isn't that exactly what every incarcerated prisoner says? Like, it wasn't me.
Right. Yeah. Everyone would say that. Everyone would say the data is wrong. Yeah. Like, I had this when I first read this, I had this mental image of like some guy getting mugged on the street and like the attacker just like cutting the chip out of them so they could gain access to something.
There's a unbelievably good video that is exactly what you just described.
Mm.
It's like a, you know, sort of concept video mm-hmm. of a woman wearing some sort of, well, you never see, it's a first person view of a woman shopping. She's in like a Target and it's just this riot of overlays, you know, just like 90s era pop up, punch the monkey banner ad, everything, but it's in her vision. And, you know, she's, mm-hmm. she walks into this store, there's like augmented reality arrows on the floor to take her where she wants to go. And there's little cute characters popping up left and right to like try and get her to buy this yogurt or that yogurt. And she's trying to swipe them away, but it's glitching. It keeps on glitching. And she calls up this help system. And the help system is like, oh, sorry, something's wrong with your feed. we're working on it. And it goes on a couple of times and it keeps glitching and then it goes off and she kind of panics because now you're just standing in a target like you or I would now.
Right.
And she's like, I don't know where to go. I don't even remember where I was going. She's like, lost. So she's freaking, right? So it puts her in this state of panic. Mm-hmm. And then the help guys like Timmy or something pops in to her field of view, virtually. And he says like, I'm going to reboot the system, but I need some piece of information. I don't think he asked for a password, but it was kind of like that.
Right.
For her to put the state, her heads up display in reset mode. So she does that. And I think it goes dead at that point. I think that's the point where it goes dead. And then you can hear her breathing. Yeah, I think that's what happens. It doesn't go dead until he asks for the reset. She does the reset. Then it goes dead. You can hear her breathing go up. She starts to panic. She leaves the store. She goes outside. She's on kind of a busy city street. And like randomly, a masked person comes running down the street towards her and cuts her hand open, does something, and runs away. And now the lady is like, and cuts out whatever the device is. And because obviously she got socially engineered, somebody got her reset, her root password. So now they just needed the device. So they go and steal the device. And now they've got this person's entire virtual identity. And, and then it ends with this, like, she's like, doesn't know what to do. She looks across the street. There's like, not all who wander are lost church door. And she like goes into the church and like, it was kind of an the overall moral was kind of an anti-technology thing. I have no idea how to find this video. I'll see if I can put it in the show notes because it was really, really powerful. But your initial gut reaction about an emergent behavior or emergent property is exactly that. Like people getting the thing cut out of their hand forcibly because there's your, like if it was fingerprint, would people get their fingers cut off? Maybe. Or even just like going around taking imprints off of, like you could slip a waiter like $100 to give you the glass that the lady used at lunch so that you could try and peel a fingerprint off of it because she's the senator from Naboo or whatever. But hey, if I can get my pretzels faster, this was like a deeper thing than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Subcutaneous.
Yeah. And here we thought it was only skin deep.
Oh. Anyway, okay, that's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, would you like to see Kelly and I in your inbox once a week? Get new episodes delivered straight to you with show notes, links to additional content, and oh so much more. Plus, you can reply to any message to suggest topics for future episodes. To get the inside track, go to terrifyingrobotdog.com and look for the Keep Me in the Loop button. That website again is terrifyingrobotdog.com.